Well, hi, and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Portia.
And this is Katie.
And we are so glad that you've chosen to be with us. I mean, let's be honest, this didn't just happen. You picked up your phone or opened up your computer and decided with intention, I want to listen to a podcast. And maybe you went, I want to go see what those crazy ladies are talking about. Or maybe you thought, this showed up in your suggestions, but you had to choose to be with us. And we are so thankful that you chose to be with us today. And you just prayed and you were talking about how much God loves us and how much God loves his people. And that is just such a great reminder, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. No matter what any of us are going through or experiencing right now in our everyday lives, in our earthly lives, to think of the spiritual reality all around us, that he aches to gather us in his arms, to whisper love to us, to help us, to give us hope, to give us that joy and that peace and that wholeness that really can't be found anywhere else. That's just so exciting.
I love it. It's one of those things that I actually try to be super intentional to think about is the fact that God loves me. Even when I'm in the middle of maybe using an elevated voice with my children, that even in that moment, he's with me and he loves me and there is grace when I repent for the elevated voice. For those of you like, why is she saying elevated voice? Because I'm trying not to say that I yell at my kids, but let's be real. Sometimes your girl yells at her kids and I have to repent both to God and to my children.
That's a little euphemism for.
We have an amazing guest today, and it is a guest that I am so happy to say is not just my friend because I just met her and she's become my friend because everybody is a potential friend, but because she truly is my friend. And maybe we're going to talk about it, but Tabitha Perry and I met in the bathroom at a church. It was one of those, we were at the sink, washing our hands. We hadn't met yet. And I was like, hey, and the rest is history. Welcome, Tabitha. We are so glad that you're here with us today.
Thank you so much. It's such a privilege.
And I can't wait to hear your whole story, Tabitha, because obviously I didn't meet you in the bathroom at church. I just met you, but you've already shown me so much grace, as I apologize for not having makeup on or hair combed this morning. And you look gorgeous, and I can't wait to hear your story. So, Portia, read the bio, and we will jump right in.
Okay. Y'all, this is my friend. Okay, here we go. Tabitha is a counselor, case manager, program administrator, researcher, mentor, and life coach. She's worn many hats and in each role loved problem solving to help people achieve their goals from big to small. Join us as we listen to her story and celebrate her adventurous spirit and her heart for people to find freedom. Welcome again, Tabitha. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I love all those roles, Tabitha, and can't wait to pick apart some of them, especially mentor and life coach, because I'm dabbling in that myself. And my mentees might say not that successfully, but I'm trying. And so we're dying to get into that. But we love to start with just some little background stuff on all our guests because we love stories. And obviously, you got to have the prologue, you know. So can you give us just a little bit about the early years of Tabitha and tell us just what those early years looked like?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Juneau, Alaska. And Juneau is actually a temperate rainforest. And so it rains 364 days a year. And it's just all the time. But you still go out and play because otherwise you would just be stuck in your house all the time. But I was an only child. So I had to go out and make friends and find people to play with. And so my neighborhood had a plethora of kids, which was so much fun. And I kind of grew up with them. It was such a privilege just to meet all these different types of people and have them in my life. Around six, my parents ended up getting divorced. And I have to say, it was probably the most like peaceful divorce there could be. They were so respectful of each other and the situation. I was an only child, and so they had my best interest in mind and made it so I got to go back and forth between each house the same amount of time. So I got to see my mom and my dad, and it was just so nice. Looking back, they did the best that they could with what they had. And that also gave me this tool to adapt, which has allowed me to have all of those roles in my life, because I would have to go back between different environments. Again, my parents did a wonderful job, but they were different environments. And so I just constantly learned how to read people and figure out what they needed and what I could do to help them, because I liked to be a helper. I liked to feel valuable. So at 10, I accepted Christ into my heart. And at that point, I was just so lonely. I really felt like Jesus come in, and I've never felt that loneliness like I had before. Mm-hmm. And so it was so beautiful. I was actually out at a cabin in the middle of nowhere at this like Bible camp. And it was just, I still remember sitting on the steps being like, Jesus, I just don't want to be so lonely anymore. Mm-hmm. And like, will you come into my heart? And he did. And it was amazing. I can't say like my life dramatically changed, but I, you know, hindsight 2020, looking back, I'm like, man, like I just didn't feel that deep, deep loneliness like I had. So moving on, like I went through high school and college and got my bachelor's in criminal justice, and then went on to get my master's in social work. And so to kind of some of the big things that went on in my life for my story.
I love that so much. I would like to pull out the factoid that you grew up in Alaska, because I don't know how many people have friends in their life or people in their community that are actually from
Alaska.
And I just think it's really cool. And being a Texan by proxy, I will defer and admit that Alaska is bigger than Texas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I know that hurts to say.
Land mass, but not population.
No. That's correct. Right. That is, yes, that is the bare facts of it. But it's still, I don't know why that's so painful to admit, but.
That's so funny. Yeah. It's so big that I grew up in Juneau. So again, it's a rainforest and it's surrounded by rainforest. So you can only take a boat or an airplane in. You can't drive in or out. So when I bought my car and wanted to bring it to college, which I had moved up to Anchorage, I actually had to put it on a boat, take the boat up, and then drive through Canada all the way down. And it took a total of 23 hours to get just to Anchorage, which is actually in central Alaska. Wow. There's like so thousands of miles, even more. Yeah.
So interesting. We had gone on a Alaskan cruise a couple years ago, but prior to the cruise, I read all I could about Alaska, like history and even novels. I can't remember the big fat thick one. Maybe Michener wrote a novel called Alaska that is fictional, but it weaves in all the historical facts. And what a fascinating state. With so much history. So when I saw that on your bio, I'm like, oh, Alaska. And truthfully, when we went on that cruise, now I know cruises are not real life. Trust me, I get that. One, we were surprised about all the rain because, you don't really think of Alaska as rainy.
Yeah, as a rainy place.
Yeah, but it was so gorgeous. And we kind of like the non-crowds. Mike's like, maybe we should move to Alaska. I don't know, honey. I don't know.
Oh, what was your favorite place?
We pulled into, it must have been, we went up the coast and stopped at like Skagway and all those little places. But then we got on a train. And went to Denali and, had like 5 days around that area. But I guess I'd say I love the coast the most just because I love the ocean, but it was so rainy there and Denali had the mountains and that was so in snow and la, la, la. So I loved it all. I truly loved your state, but
Oh, thank you.
If I can just comment quick on you sitting there lonely. You said you had all these neighbors that were fabulous and fun, and that was great. And then you said your parents were wonderful. But what I was picturing as you were saying that is a little girl with a heart that wants to please people and constantly pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Not that your parents, I'm sure they poured back in and the friends and everything, but you can get real lonely when you have a personality like that, and you can feel kind of empty because you feel like you always have to pour out and be what other people want you to be and adjust to their environments, adjust to their preferences. So I'm picturing you at 10 sitting on that porch and just being honest and saying, you know what? I got a loneliness in my heart. It almost chokes me up because I really can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I like you saying, it's not like your life radically changed, you know, the angels didn't come down and transport you, but you had a new feeling in your soul. And listeners, I just want to say that's what being in a relationship with Jesus, that is so simply how it can start, just admitting, got some loneliness in my soul. And when he comes in, he does fill that and not make everything better, because we're going to move on now and hear more of your story, what happened next. But he does start with that filling. So thanks for sharing background.
You mentioned your friends. So tell us about your childhood friend, Alex, and how did that lead you to work with women trapped in the criminal justice system?
Yes. So my friend Alex, he's really my brother. We met when we were three and he lived down the street from me. And so, so it was so fun. So his parents actually worked on the Alaska Marine Highway. So again, because there was no highways in and out of Juneau, there was the ferries. And so his parents would work together. So he would come live with us.
Okay.
So I had like a brother regularly. It was so much fun. So then when my parents split, it didn't work out for him to come stay with us anymore. And his dad got sick. And so at that point, he started probably feeling lonely as well and making really poor decisions, which eventually got him into juvenile detention. Because I was such like a quote unquote good kid, and they knew that we were basically siblings, they let me come in and see him and visit him, which minors aren't allowed to go into facilities. But when I went there, I saw other kids that I knew. Again, like my town was pretty small.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's right. You haven't been at school. Oh, you're in jail. Oh, okay. And so my buddy Alex, man. So, you know, this was when we were like in our early teens, and, you know, throughout his life, he was in and out of the justice system. And what I saw was that I knew his heart. I knew how amazing he was and how smart and intelligent, made poor decisions. And so when I became like a probation and parole intern at 20, my heart was to help people like they had been released into the community, or the judge said, hey, we're just going to give you a little accountability to make sure you follow the rules. Yeah. And I was there to kind of help them along. And I just saw them as a bunch of Alexes, people that made poor decisions. Nobody really wants to make bad decisions, but unfortunately life happens and sometimes that does happen. So anyhow, so I eventually just kind of like poured in to the justice system. What I found though was like, I just didn't take very good care of myself when I was doing that. Cause I absolutely loved it, but it's just, it'll just drain you. But I got to work in a juvenile detention center, transport youth. I've worked in, two different prisons. Like I've just had so many opportunities to be with people that love Jesus, like that I could share about Jesus, and that they could just not feel that loneliness anymore. But what really sparked my joy and like excitement for working with women specifically was I worked at the Denver County Jail in a mental health unit.
Wow.
Now these are gals that not only have broke the law, but they have mental health issues, which actually is about 80% of the jail population. And so I absolutely loved working with them. But then I had an opportunity to go work over in the men's unit, and I'm always up for growing. And I was like, okay, this is going to be different. And I went over there and I just missed it so much working with the women. And the Lord had always just put in my heart this idea of pouring into women. So I usually had someone that I was mentoring, like a young girl, or was volunteering in some capacity. And so that was just really when I was like, yes, like I absolutely love working with women, which eventually got me into wanting to help them feel free, even when they were in prison. And now you can't always share your faith when you're in jail, right? When I'm a county worker, but I could share with them tools to free their mind and help them with strategies and just affirm who they were,
right?
And not base things on what they did.
Oh, I love that so, so much. Sorry, that, I was just overtaken with.
I
love what you're doing. That's such the heart of our Lord, that He affirms who we are and He doesn't nitpick on the things we've done.
Amen. That's what, yeah, there's a little silence there because both Portia and I were taking in that last statement, affirming people for who they are, not capitalizing on what they've done. And isn't that what Jesus does with all of us? It's not about producing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that. So what then? What came next?
Yes. So then I was around a lot of people that were highly educated. And they're like, Tabitha, if you want to help people, like, go back to school, get your master's. And so at that point, I was like, all right, I'm all in. I'm going to get my master's in social work. Because social work is such an amazing dynamic field that you can do a bunch of different things. So I start in grad school. And then I have an opportunity to work in a bunch of different areas at the VA and then also at an acute psychiatric center. And so I just, again, got to see people hurting. And I knew what it was to hurt. I knew what it was to feel lonely. And then I decided I'm going to stay home with my babies because that's what a good Christian woman does. She stays home and she takes care of her babies. And I was so excited about it. It was something that my husband and I had talked about. And so when I did, I lasted about a month. And I was like, I got to do something
I knew this was coming and I'm laughing.
Yes. So at that point, I was just pregnant. I hadn't actually had my first daughter yet. And I started volunteering with a teen pregnancy agency called Young Lives in Anchorage, and had the opportunity to hang out with these amazing girls that had these kiddos. Now, granted, they'd had babies before me, so I was actually learning from them. And I was like, they can do this. They don't need the baby like wipe warmers and they don't need fancy cribs and all this. I'm like, what am I doing? Like a perspective shift. And that's what I've loved about being involved in the justice system and volunteering. It keeps my world big and it keeps me having perspective on life. Because when you're a stay-at-home mom, man, your world can get small if you let it. And the little things can really happen. When you're talking about nitpicking, that God doesn't nitpick at us, I'm like, oh, I need more Jesus in me. Because that is what can happen when your world gets small, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that I always wanted something to be keeping my world bigger. So as I had my babies, I was able to continue volunteering and just working with women. Teen moms were my jam. Like, I have a heart for teen moms, which I can definitely go into the story as to why I actually have a passion for teen moms. And the reason is because I could have been a teen mom. Mm-hmm. I was in a relationship with a much older man at 16, or at least I thought it was a relationship. And that's where a lot of counseling helped me to realize that it wasn't a relationship, that it was a very inappropriate situation that had happened. And so, again, thank the Lord. He had protected me from bringing a little one in before I was ready.
Yeah.
But I grew so much from that situation and have been able to give back to women, knowing that, again, your choices don't define who you are.
Yes.
For so many years, I thought I chose to be in that relationship with that man. And there was some choice to it, but it was also coercion and it was just plain abuse. But ultimately, I wanted women to feel like they had a choice and encouraged. So whether they were in prison, whether they were a stay-at-home mom, whether they were a teen mom, we have choices on how we want to live out our life and how we want to use our story to either catapult us positive or negatively.
Amen. Oh, so much we could say about each one of those. I have to just say one thing, though. When you said, oh, that's what good Christian women do, there is that kind of idea that floats out there. And if we go back to, it's not about what we do, but who we are. Mm-hmm. What defines a good Christian woman? Someone that stays home with their babies?
Maybe.
Someone who works? Maybe.
Maybe.
Someone, you know, part-time? Someone who volunteers lots? Someone who doesn't? Those are actions. It's who are you as a person and what is your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So I love that.
Absolutely.
But then I love you saying about the perspective of being that mom of young babies. And when you looked at the young teens, like they didn't need the baby warmers. I mean, saying to myself when I wanted to be sunk in self-pity and like, oh, I ache and fear of, am I going to kill this baby? I don't even know what I'm doing with this baby. I would remember stories I'd read about women who would give birth like in a rice field.
Right.
They're working and literally go back to work the next day and the
ballers
strapped on their back. And I'm like, well, those babies lived. And that mother was, you know, carried on. I think in my comfortable little American world, I think I can get through this. So I don't know. I just felt like highlighting that listeners' perspective.
Yes.
Great thing.
Yes. I love what you said about volunteering with those young teen moms, that it helped your world get larger, as opposed to it. There is a natural inclination that when we are just in our own world, that our world gets super small. And so putting yourself in that place so that you could enlarge your worldview, I would imagine that has had a direct impact on the amount of empathy you have for people when you meet them. Because first of all, listeners, I know you can't see Tabitha. She's beautiful. And one of the things that I have always appreciated about you is that you greet and meet everybody the same. And I can see that coming from your life experiences of your choices don't define you. You're a person. And I am so happy to meet you and to engage with you. And I just have to think that has to come from just the varied experiences of hearing different people's stories and knowing their circumstances. And in spite of that, still going, no, but I'm here. And how can I help you? And how can I come alongside you? I love that part of your story. And I think there's a real key that getting involved in other people's lives. And listeners, it may not be volunteering at a teen mom's center. It may not be volunteering in the criminal justice system, but just being involved with people outside of your sphere enlarges your world and therefore your empathy for others.
So true. And it's so interesting too, talking with women about like, well, what are you interested in? Because I'm always curious, you know, how women spend their time in their day. And a lot of times, again, we get kind of stuck in this smaller world. We kind of forget those passions that we had. Maybe we were younger. So I just ask the listeners, like, if you feel called to give back in your community and in your church somewhere, like go back to like your heart when you were 10 years old. Mm. Like, what was it that God like put in your heart? Who did you enjoy being with? Who did you enjoy hanging out with? Maybe you liked walking dogs. Maybe you liked drawing, and using those skills that God had given you to like for good. And again, to just broaden your perspective and that our world is so big. It's so big. And God is bigger.
Oh, I love that so much. So how does that, okay, so previous experiences and your skills, they've led you to the door of your next role. So how did this happen in your current role as a life coach to women? You've kind of touched on this a little bit, but tell us more.
Yes. So I had had my second baby and I knew I was done having biological children. And so I was like, all right, Now what? I was volunteering.
Next.
right. I'm a go-getter. Like, let's do this. I was volunteering. You know, I was involved in my church. Like, I was doing all the things. But I still felt like there was something missing. I had Jesus. Like, that God-shaped hole was still filled. But I'm like, I know you want something more of me. And my husband is a go-getter. And so I constantly admire how he's just always dreaming and, like, just going for it. And so I was like, I wonder what it would be like if, like, I dreamed bigger than I thought I could dream. And so I read this book called Living Forward, and it helps you walk through creating a life plan and basically breaking your life into different accounts. And I'm a very linear seeker type A, so I like to put things in very, like, strategic order. So I, you know, I put things in my personal life, my family, my relationship with the Lord. And when I did my personal life, I was like, man, I'm called to serve women at a, like, higher level, like, than I'm doing right now. So the Lord put into my mind, you need to take a class. Now, I need to tell you, I still have nightmares of not passing high school, not being able to find my locker, not turning the paper in time. And it's funny, I've heard other people have those too.
Yes.
Right. So going back to school, like, after completing all my schooling, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? But I knew I needed to. So I took a class, and thankfully it wasn't graded. So that made me feel a lot better. Right. And it was amazing to learn about life coaching. And I'm like, yes, I want to do this. But here's the thing. I'm such a, I love education. So I could have gone on and got certified, or I could take a step out in faith and, like, believe that I had the skills that God had already equipped me with what he wanted me to use right now. So I chose to start my business and really kind of go hard at targeting stay-at-home moms and just love on them and encourage them to be able to make those choices in their lives. Like, are they content with where they at? Like, fully looking, like, being honest, like, are you content? If you are, amazing. I want to affirm you in that. If you are not, amazing. I want to affirm you in that. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. You know, let's use those skills. And so, like, digging into the values. And so it was just this really cool progression of, like, evolving. And it was nothing but the Lord, because anyone that knew me a couple years ago would know, like, I was a go-getter, but I was not a business person. If anything, I was like, that's what my husband does. Yeah. That's not what I do. So for me to start something, again, like, it was the Lord. And he has just walked with me through it the entire time and has expanded my mind. So I want to encourage the listeners. If you feel like God is calling you to do something, number one, be obedient.
Yeah.
Number two, he will provide the time and the wisdom, because there was no way my brain would have known any of this, like, what I was doing. But he put people in my life, resources in my life, and just purely, like, helped me have a clear mind to be able to do what I'm doing. And it's just, now that I'm doing that, the balance of everything that we have going on in our life right now, it still feels good. It feels healthy. Like, I feel balanced, like, as one can be.
Right.
In her world.
And Tabitha, just define what you're doing. Did you start a life coaching business, like, where people can sign up? And
Yes. So I had actually met someone through my church, and her and I had been talking, and I was like, you know, I'm starting my business. Would you like to be my first client? And she's like, absolutely. And the fact that she, like, affirmed that what I had to say and, like, how I was helping her was, like, beneficial, I was like, all right, like, that was just enough to, like, push me over the edge to do this. So then I've been able to, I usually just, like, go live on Facebook. I try to create encouraging posts, and really just seek to encourage women. And if they feel like in their heart, like, man, I'd really like someone to talk to help figure out, like, my dreams, to help me figure out how to even just make it through the day in a balanced way. That's what I absolutely love to do. I'm a nerd when it comes to organization. I want to help you organize your mind. I want to help you organize your house. And so a lot of the gals that I work with, like, we talk about scheduling, because I really believe if you change how you create your day, and the choices you make in your day, your life will be amazing.
Of course. Yeah. And it will change.
Yeah.
And it will change.
Because your life is made up of minutes and hours, obviously, and days. So you change those minutes. You organize how... I love that. I love that, Tabitha. And you feel like you've found your sweet spot. I can tell by the way you talk about your business and you smile.
Thank you.
And listening to your story, starting as a friend to Alex and helping him all the way, and then all the way through to what you're doing now, obviously such a theme of always helping people is woven through your beautiful story. But now the last few months, you've begun sharing a personal story of your own rescue. Can you share that story with us today?
Yes, you bet. So I had referred to it before that I was in this relationship with this older guy, and my parents knew him. Like, they brought him into the home because they were amazing people that brought everyone into their home. Like, come share meals with us. My parents never knew what happened to me. And I held this in for a long, long time. Number one, well, there was two reasons why. And I didn't know what their response would be. Their response could either be, if when I told them, you should have known better, which would have killed me, because I really like to be responsible. I'm a type one on the Enneagram. Being responsible and making like moral decisions is very important to me.
Yeah.
So that would have destroyed me. Number two is if it would just break them and just completely destroy their hearts. And so as I've been helping other women get freedom in their life, I realized I had this one thing holding me back. And that was that I had not told my parents. Because I want to be able to tell my story and encourage women that have maybe been in that situation. And so my mom came to visit a couple months ago, and I was like, all right, this needs to be the time. And over the years, I'd always kind of like, oh, I should probably tell her, like, no, it's fine. Like, if I can take this to the grave, it'll be good. Like, I do not want to put this burden on her.
Right.
But something amazing about my mom is she is a very strong woman, and she has done lots of like counseling in her life as well. So my dad was an alcoholic, and so my mom did Al-Anon, which is this amazing support for the families of alcoholics. And so, and granted, my dad has been sober for 36 years.
Yeah,
so praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But she has such good coping skills. And so as I've been developing myself and again, helping women through coaching them, I'm like, I need to have the strength to do this and trust my mom to have the strength. Because when you're a coach and you have these people coming to you, like telling you their heart, you have to trust that they are strong enough to do it, because I can't carry that burden for them. That is not my role. And so I had to trust that my mom could. So anyhow, we went to the park and my kids were playing, and we were sitting. It was just this beautiful day. And I was like, Mom, there's something that I've been meaning to tell you, and I would prefer if you just let me tell you. And then I don't know if I want to answer all your questions. You're more than welcome to ask them, but I may say that I just don't want to share those details. She said, okay. And so then I told her, you know, the person that we had allowed into our home, and that relationship really progressed a lot differently than you probably had thought. And we were really together for 2 years, and I lied to you a lot, you know, and I'm sorry for that. And I'm like, okay. And I just like waited. And she's like, well, I had no idea. And I'm so sorry that happened to you. And that just was like,
Yeah.
Wow. A relief.
It makes me think of that verse, the truth shall set you free. Now, I know the connotation is the truth of God sets you free from wrong thinking and everything like that. But I kind of apply it in my own life to things like that, to Tabitha, in a way, and in the right timing. I'm not saying, oh, tell everybody exact, you know, the right timing in the right way. But we are held back from living in absolute freedom when think we have to guard these secrets because of what it might do to someone else or whatever. I mean, yes, apply wisdom, of course, but you probably felt so free after just
I did. It was incredible. And it really has brought my mom and I even closer together that she knows I can trust her with the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. And she knows that I've gone through hard stuff and that she can trust me. And like, it's been amazing just to see how it's worked. And she's come back, you know, and asked questions kind of here and there about it, but it's also respectful of my privacy and really not wanting to talk about it. Like I've had my therapy, I've done my coaching. I truly am like not done with it, but it doesn't affect me the way that it used to.
Of course.
And I don't think you ever really truly recover from things like that. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm choosing to use that as part of my story to help boost me and give me strength versus, you know, taking things away and feeling bad for myself. And
Well, you let some light into the darkness. And mm-hmm. I think that's what happens when we can finally talk mm-hmm. about something that we've guarded and the enemy is involved too. The enemy will whisper, don't ever tell a soul. This will ruin your mother. She won't be able to handle it. Or, you know, it will ruin you or people will hate you or la, 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 la. The myriad of lies that the enemy tells to our souls so that we guard things, we hold on to things. And they're like a festering poison sometimes. And Jesus is saying, let some light in on
absolutely. Everything. Absolutely. And I think you showed so much wisdom in telling what happened without getting into the details. Because I think there's something that's like flying around in culture that in order for your story to be powerful, you have to tell every dark and dirty detail. Now, sometimes that's what God asks us to do. And sometimes that is appropriate. But that's not a hard and fast rule for anyone. And I love so much that you're sharing. Like, yeah, I went to therapy. I also love that you said that. Come on, somebody, therapy in Jesus.
Yeah,
let's go.
Hello, yay.
Quick caveat: I saw a post from someone that said Jesus is the power, and prayer is the power, and therapy is the strategy. And so I love that you sought professional counseling and help, but I also love that in your sharing of your story, that you were able to share parts of it. Like, this is what I learned from this. This is what I realized had happened. And this is the freedom that I have experienced. And that, listener, no, you don't have to go into all of the dark recesses of what happened when you are sharing your story. Mm-hmm. And I really think that was just wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And the only person that we are absolutely uncovered and laid bare before that knows everything, and he knows it before we even tell him, is our Lord. Anyway, and so I love that that's the way that you walk this through. I love that you've come into a new space of freedom. I celebrate that in your life and applaud what God is doing in and through you because you've allowed this type of transparency in your relationship with your mother. Yay!
Thank you.
And the way you shared everything was such honor. You shared your story with truth and humility, but always honoring your mom, your dad, even the man you were involved in. It's not like you dishonored him. I love that too. Mm-hmm. Stories are powerful, listeners, and we all have them. And there is a way to share them with beauty and grace, mm-hmm. and they can change lives. Tabitha, the one question we'd love to ask every guest is if you could share one thing with our listeners, what would that be?
So good. Been thinking a lot about this. You are not defined by your choices, and you absolutely have the choice to change your life right now. If it's not going the way that you wanted, if you're feeling like you're in your own personal prison, like you have the choice to step out of it. And there's counselors, there's life coaches, there's friends you meet in the bathroom. Like there's all these people that you can reach out to talk to like be encouraged, but know that who defines you is Jesus. And your value is just so, so worthy and lovely. So that's that.
Oh, I love that so much. It just, one of the things that you have done throughout your story with us today, Tabitha, is give honor. And Katie mentioned that even when you were talking about the women you got to work with in prison and working with young teens, with all of them, you gave honor and restored dignity. And I think that is such, again, it's a picture of how Jesus treats us. It's how the Lord treats us, is that every encounter with him, it is shouting our value. It is shouting that you have dignity. It is shouting that you have purpose. It is shouting that there is a mission over your life. And that is a way that you have been conducting your life. And I love that example. And we just so appreciate you sharing that with our listeners today. Because it not one time have you said, I'm perfect. So I blah, 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 blah.
So, we love that. Because
yeah, or like everything was amazing in my life. I had just this great life story. And so this is what I'm able to do. And so I think that you have this, you are walking in a way that demonstrates our Lord, how he loves us and how he is able to love others through us. And that's just amazing. And I just so appreciate, we so appreciate you being with us today.
And bringing it, one last comment from me, the big mouth, bringing it back to our identity. Mm-hmm. It is in him, not in our works. But then also, you also kind of highlighted choices.
Yeah.
We do have choices. My counselor said to me, Katie, you have lots of choices, but the one choice you do not have is to be a victim.
Wow.
Because you aren't a victim. You are making choices, and you can wallow and you can blame everybody around you. And you can say, well, so-and-so does this. Therefore I have to be in pain. Therefore my life is limited. Therefore la, 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 la. And she said, you have a lot of choices, but one that you don't have is to play the victim. Whoa, did that hurt? But a good hurt. And wake-up call. So I loved when you said earlier that you love to help people. If their lives are great, amazing, let's celebrate. But if you're stuck in a situation that is making you miserable, you have choices. You have choices. You are not a victim. Oh, I love that. And we'll put in the show notes how to reach out to you and how to follow you.
Wonderful.
And all that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you're amazing. And thank you so, so, so much for sharing your story with us, Tabitha. Now
thank you, Portia.
You've been Portia's friend. Now you're mine too. And you'll be all our listeners' friends.
Wonderful.
We love friends.
I love it.
Listeners, thanks so much for being with us today. If this episode and hearing from Tabitha, of just being reminded that you're not defined by your choices and being reminded that you still have choices that you can make and that your identity is defined by Jesus. If this has touched your heart, share this episode, share this with your friends, share this with your family, because we want others to be encouraged because stories change lives. We can't wait to be with you again and hope that you will again choose to be with us. Take care. We love you so much. Bye.
Love you much. Bye, everybody.